Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us tonight. Father, help us to grab a hold of the concepts, Lord, that are in this lesson. Father, ultimately, Lord, this making us the evangelists, Lord, that we need to be. I pray, Father, that each and every person in this room, Lord, will be ministered to by your Spirit, Lord, that this is a supernatural event, Lord, and through the power of your Spirit, you'll get this in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. So this is lesson three. We got four more lessons to go. And kind of let me give you the concept of what we're going to do. For the first three lessons, for the most part, I'm just giving you a lot of information as to how it is that you need to preach the gospel. And in this, the last of this lesson, you're going to get a hold of some scriptures that will help you as you begin to memorize them and understand what they say. But the next four lessons, we're going to go in depth on various ways to preach the gospel. How many of you ever heard of the four spiritual laws? Okay. How many of you ever heard of the Romans Road? These are methods that we use to preach the gospel. And tonight we're going to kind of find out which one's the best. Is that all right? Okay, so let's get started. Oh, there it is. This is kind of our theme verse, amen, or verses. This is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And last week we had this quote from John Wesley, which I thought it was great. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. I like that. Amen? Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever come up short in the IQ department? I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Okay. There's been times whenever I absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, have done things that you could say was unwise. And whenever I got through doing them, I thought, oh man, I wish I would have been smarter than that. Amen? Let me give you a scripture right here that is just so awesome. It says, godly men are growing a tree that bears life-giving fruit, and all who win souls are wise. Let me just tell you something. If you're out there winning souls, you can say, I'm wise. Amen? I'm a wise guy. I'm a wise guy. So the first two lessons, we have discussed these things, these points. What evangelism is not. What evangelism is. Reticular activation center. How many of you all are trying to turn that rascal on? Amen. Developing an impact list. I hope that you all have already developed your impact list and you are praying over that impact list, folks. Let me just tell you something. If you're not doing that, your attempts at evangelism are going to be unsuccessful. Prayer is the absolute necessity whenever it comes to evangelism. So the next one, prayer points for evangelism. You've been praying over these things. You've been praying that God would open their hearts. God would soften their hearts. God would give them a spiritual thirst. Points of contact. How many of you guys have been scoping people out? Come on. Been scoping people out. We were supposed to have a testimony here this afternoon, but obviously the other deacons know that, never mind. Okay, praying for open doors, looking for open doors, intentional relationship building. This is us going out and developing those relationships, because remember, most effective evangelism you're going to do is with people that are your friends, amen? I mean, folks that you don't know, you're going to have very little success, but I promise you this, those people that you have intentional relationships with, those are people that you're going to be able to win to Jesus Christ. Impromptu conversations, you got to have space in your life for them. Folks, I'm one of those people that just go do what I'm supposed to be doing, and then I leave. You got to give yourself time, you got to give yourself opportunity to strike up conversations, the impromptu kind of conversations. The Kairos moment. That's whenever the Holy Spirit has put you there and has put that individual you're supposed to be talking to there. It's a God thing, amen? I'm telling you, man, them God things are awesome things, amen? Them God things are awesome things. You guys know what I'm saying? Okay, whose initiative is the conversation? Is it yours? Is it the individual that you're going to be ministering to? Or is it the Holy Spirit initiating it? Again, that moment that God puts you together. engaging people in conversation, folks, this is one of the things we got to do. We got to learn how to just be bold and just walk up to folks and start talking to them. Turning a conversation. Every one of us know how to do that, especially the guys. It's called changing the subject. Okay. Are you going to mow the lawn today? We know how to change the subject, yes? Okay. Transition statement. And lastly, your story. Folks, I pray that you are working on your story. As I said last week, it's going to take you several weeks to be able to put this story down and be able to articulate your story, to be able to look at what it is that God has done in your life and be able to take that and communicate it into other people's lives. Amen? So that's what we've learned so far. And so tonight we're going to jump into this thing. All right. The key to personal evangelism is... Y'all ready? Dalton, could you guys give me a drum roll? Everybody on the front seat here, a drum roll. The key to personal evangelism is just to do it. That's the key. I mean, man, this is not complicated. Personal evangelism is just getting out there and doing it. Amen? It's just making up your mind that you are going to do it. This is a quote from D.L. Moody. He says, "I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." Okay, folks, as we go through our day, one of the things I believe we have to do, and this is a faith thing, it's just getting up in the morning, and whenever we begin to ask God, "God, listen, man, I want to get out there and tell somebody about Jesus," I think we've got to begin to expect divine appointments. Y'all know what a divine appointment is, amen? A divine appointment is that kairos moment, whenever God just puts you in that place, that God-ordained place where we can preach the gospel. Pray for and be on the lookout for these God-ordained sharing opportunities. I mean, folks, what prayer would God come to answer in my life more than something that we say, "Lord, open a door for me to witness to somebody"? You think he's going to go, probably not today. You know, he's going to do it. Okay, God created you, and he has uniquely prepared you for his good works. Amen? God loves to answer your prayers that you would be used to bring the kingdom of God to those you meet. And now we're going to deal with this big thing right here. It's called fear. How many of y'all have ever been scared? Holy macaroni. I've been scared before. I'm going to tell you, I have an enormous fear of snakes and children. I'm just kidding. Okay, fear is something that we are going to deal with. It's just inevitable that we're going to get out there and we are going to deal with fear. Can anybody tell me why you think that personal evangelism equals fear? It's uncomfortable. Anybody else? Preconceived ideas. Anybody else? It's something you haven't done. You don't know how the other person's going to respond. Could have a knife in their boot, for heaven's sake, okay? So the number one reason why we have fear, are y'all ready for this? Because that is the tool the enemy uses against us. That is his number one tool in his toolbox. If he can get us fearful of preaching the gospel, he has the battle won. Personal evangelism is one of the greatest joys of following Jesus Christ, and that's true. I'm telling you, whenever you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, whenever you pray over their life and see God do something in them, it is just amazing. But here's the thing. It is also very intimidating. All of your answers a while ago tells us it's intimidating. I mean, it's intimidating. It's intimidating to talk to people that you know about Jesus Christ. It's intimidating to talk to people you love about Jesus Christ. Are you following me? I mean, family members. It's intimidating. I have a hard time talking to my own parents about Jesus. Are y'all there? However, it is really intimidating, really, really intimidating to talk to an absolute stranger about Jesus Christ. You got to say no to fear. No, no. Let's practice it. No, no. That's what you got to do. You got to say no to fear. The Bible tells us that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. This is Satan's tool. He uses this against us. He comes to our hearts. He knocks on our hearts. No, never mind. Wait a minute. This is what he does. The enemy hates what you're doing, and so this is what he does. He screams in your ear. He does. It's not in my heart he's doing this stuff, man. I'm telling you something. He's on my shoulder. He's right here. And he may be small, but that rascal can scream louder than most little girls. This is what he does. He screams, the other person is not interested. Don't say a word. Anybody ever hear that? They're not going to be interested in what you got to say. You're wasting your time. The next one, the other person is going to be offended. Man, I'm telling you, that's one he uses a lot. He's going to be offended, and then they're going to get mad, and then they're going to take that knife out of their boot, and you're a goner. The other person is going to lash out at you with that submachine gun they have under their coat. The other person is going to reject you if you speak to them about Jesus. And folks, this is one of the things that happens with friends and family. I mean, man, this is it. You know, you can't talk to your cousin about the Lord because your cousin, man, is going to hate your guts. Never invite you over to their house again. And they're rich and have a swimming pool. I'm serious. I mean, that's true. They'll say that, I mean, he will sit on your shoulder and scream. That person's going to reject you. One of your coworkers, same thing. They're going to reject you, man. They'll never talk to you again. You will feel afraid that you won't know what to say, and you will look stupid. Hey, let me just let you down right now. I already look stupid, whether I'm saying anything or not. Come on. It is spiritual warfare. These are fears driven by spiritual warfare. Let me just make sure y'all understand something. Satan has his group. Amen? He's got his group. It's every lost human being on the planet right now. That's his group. That's his followers. Are you with me? And he doesn't want to lose a single one. So if you think that you're going to go out there and you're not going to experience fear and you're not going to have these things screamed into your ear as loud as you possibly can, folks, I will tell you this. You are going to get fearful because he is going to intimidate you with fear. Amen? Should have been a louder amen than that. This is the truth, though. Are you ready for this? These scenarios almost never happen. Never happen. I know some of you in this room, you have done a lot of evangelism. I've done evangelism. And I can count on one hand the times people have gotten very cranky with me and gotten mean with me. Most of the time, it just doesn't happen. They don't reject you. You can preach to your family and they won't reject you. They're not going to become offended. There's times, yes, that they might not be interested. But the amazing thing is, sometimes I've preached to people, they've acted like they had no interest whatsoever in it, and then they come back to me and ask, hey, you remember that conversation we had a couple weeks ago? Will you tell me more? And I said, so you were interested and you told me you weren't interested? Liar, liar, pants on fire. I didn't really say that to him, though. Okay. These scenarios, they just hardly ever happen. Even in those times, whenever the person whom you offer the gospel to says no, most of the times they're pretty polite about it. You know, they don't say, you scuzz bucket Christian, get out of my way, spit on you, and spin their tires as they leave. They're not like that. Remember, the Lord may be using this rejection of his word as a way to get these people attention. There's a times that many people have found themselves drawn to attend church or drawn to go back for more information after an encounter that was unsuccessful. Are y'all with me? I mean, man, whenever you start preaching the gospel to something, do you realize what you're doing with the Holy Spirit? You're giving the Holy Spirit some ammunition to go after them after you've parted from them. Amen? Even though there may not have been interest at the time whenever you preached to them, whenever you shared the gospel story with them, even though there might not have been interest at that time, understand this. God is preparing their hearts. He's preparing their hearts to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to receive that truth long before you ever saw those people, long before you ever ran into them. You are simply the messenger. You're put there at the right time. You're put there at the right place to accomplish what God has already planned for you to do and say. Listen, you're the messenger. Think about all the messengers in the Bible. Think about Gabriel. He was an angel that announced the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen? He was a messenger. Understand this. Jesus Christ has sent you to take his message to the world. Amen? You're the messenger. You're the messenger. And so if he sent you to take the message, don't you think that he has ordained spots for you to be in? Times for you to be in those spots? I believe that. This is it, though. You have to be obedient whenever the Lord nudges you to share the gospel with somebody. Can I just ask something? Are y'all? Come on, man. Be straight with me. Have any of y'all just knew you were there at the right time? You were there at the right place? You just felt that going on inside of you? And you just knew you needed to say something, but you didn't. I've done it. Listen, man, I've abandoned those opportunities before. I've abandoned those opportunities because I had somebody on my shoulder sitting there screaming at me. I've abandoned those opportunities many times because I was too selfish to give the time. Come on. That's what this slide's important. Be obedient when the Lord nudges you to share the gospel with somebody. Just be obedient. Just be obedient. Just be obedient. Your faith will grow as you answer God's call to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. Your faith will grow. The initial evangelism process is going to be a little scary, perhaps a little bit complicated. But as you begin to lead people to Jesus Christ and you begin to understand that God's setting you up, he's giving you some divine encounters. Are y'all with me? Your faith is going to grow. You're going to get up in the mornings and you think, man, today's going to be a great day because God is setting my whole day up. I'm going to have people to talk to. I'm going to have people to minister to. This is going to be awesome. And your faith will grow. Amen? You're not going to leave the house with all kind of fear and trepidation. Well, maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. You're going to leave the house. You're going to go, man, I know I'm going to have time to speak to somebody today about Jesus Christ. I'm going to lead somebody to the Lord today. You're just going to have this increased confidence. Amen? Now, I've printed some scriptures in your book. I encourage you to look at them. These scriptures are scriptures that intend to give you courage. Amen? In those times of your weakness, look at these scriptures and say, man, God, I believe that you're going to be with me. Amen? Okay, this next one. View people through God's eyes. Folks, let me just explain something to you. Whenever we walk this world and we look at them through our eyes of flesh, it is very, very difficult for us to understand what those individuals are going through. Amen? Very difficult. And so what we need to do is we need to say, God, I pray that you let me see these people through your eyes. And one of the things that we can look for is whenever we see the person, we got to try to look through God's eyes at their soul. Amen? At their soul. And you know, I just share something with you. I had a guy one time that I ultimately ended up leading him to the Lord. But I'm just going to tell you, man, he was such a scuzzbuck. I hated the guy. I mean, initially, I hated him. I didn't even want him to go to heaven. I wanted him to go to the hot place. Are y'all with me? I don't think deep down inside I really did, but I pretty much did. Okay? Are y'all with me? Okay? But then God said, I want you to start praying for him. And you guys know what happens whenever you start praying for somebody. All of a sudden, I began to understand that this guy has an eternal soul. And I thought, man, God, please, don't make me pray for him. I led him to the Lord, though. It's an awesome thing. Think of the hopelessness they have without Jesus Christ. Folks, we are going to be, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're going to be with him for a long time. Eternity. Time's going to go away, but we're going to be there forever. Amen? in his presence, we're going to have blessing. We're going to share in Christ's glory. But understand that. On the flip side of the coin, there are going to be people who have been banished to the lake of fire forever. There is this idea out there that floats around in the Christian community that there's going to come a time whenever God says, wait a minute, I can't punish these people forever. So I'll tell you what, we're just going to punish them for a while, and then we're going to let them all come to heaven. I'm telling you, that contradicts the Word of God. This is forever and ever. You have to look at it like that. They are hopeless without Jesus Christ. Amen? Think of the joy that they're going to have whenever they meet Jesus Christ. Think of the joy they're going to have. Look at them through God's eyes. Ultimately, it's going to be their decision, but God does not want anyone to perish. And so he's using us, the Christians, in this universe we live in, he's using us to reap a spiritual harvest, okay? So remember, look through God's eyes whenever you look at people. And then ultimately, you come to this place where you've done all of these things. You're praying for this list, man. You're looking for contacts. You're waiting for open doors. You're looking for that Kairos moment. Are y'all with me? I mean, all of it's going on right at this. And all of a sudden, you take one of those points of contact that you've been praying for, and you're there across the table with a cup of coffee in your hand, and your heart starts beating fast because you realize that God has set this moment up. Boom, boom. A rabbit. And now it's time to present the gospel. Are y'all ready? Y'all are so excited. This is the time we've been waiting on, man. We've been praying. We've been believing. We've been looking. Are y'all with me? I mean, we've been doing all, you guys have been going through this class, and now all of a sudden, it's time to present the gospel. Everyday evangelism is going to involve a couple of things. First of all, the active sharing of the activity of God in your life. This is presenting the gospel. You got to tell them your story. Are y'all? That's how important your story is. Listen to the spiritual needs of the person that you're talking with. Regularly praying for your friends. These are the things you're going to be doing. This is where you come to a place of presenting the gospel, sharing the gospel content with them in such a way that brings conviction of sin and a desire to surrender one's life to Jesus Christ. One of the best ways to grow in your skills is to learn how to talk about faith in a conversational way. Okay? A conversational way. Let me just tell you, a lot of times whenever we get a hold of this kind of information, one of the things we're going to be doing is, like, I see Tyler out on the street, and I feel like, man, he's a good candidate to hear the gospel. And I say, hey, Jesus Christ died for you. And if you don't turn yourself to Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell. You're going to burn forever and ever and ever. Amen. Do you want to receive Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior? You don't? See, I mean, that's not conversational way. Amen. See, it's not just merely presenting the gospel. We got to find a way to weave the gospel in. That's why I've been talking about a transitional statement. I've been talking about turning a conversation, amen? That's why I've been talking about making friendships, intentionally going out and grooming them friendships, amen? Because where we're going to see people one to Jesus is whenever we are talking to them, amen? It's whenever we're conversating with, is that a word? Conversating, it sounds like a great word, but anyway, whenever we're conversating with them, grow your skills, know how to talk about Jesus and weave him in to any kind of normal conversation. Utilize any presentation of the gospel that is both biblically accurate and easy to remember. Okay? I told you what way is the best way. Is it the four spiritual laws? Is it the Romans road? You know, what is the best way? The best way is one that is biblically accurate and one that you can easily remember. Because listen, man, if you're there in the middle of a evangelism speech and all of a sudden you go, oh, dear, I forgot point B. Tough for you. Looks like you don't have a chance, okay? Biblically accurate and easy to remember. Okay, so the gospel can be shared in a more natural, extemporaneous way. That means that that's the conversational way, but you have to preserve the core elements of the gospel. And this is number one. Everyday evangelists must convey the reality and consequences of sin in the lives of their hearers. Listen to me. You have to tell them that their sins have consequences. Okay? What scripture is a good scripture to use there? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But remember, we're talking about consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. Okay? You have to convey to them that their sin has consequences. Amen? How would you convey this without using a scripture? Have you ever had to correct your child for anything? You corrected them because they crossed a line. They crossed your rules. Did you ever get a speeding ticket? You had to go to court and pay it? That's the same way with God. Whenever you cross God's laws, whenever you disobey his laws, there is a consequence for it. Y'all see? That's conversational evangelism right there. Amen? And you can weave that scripture into it, but it's easy to explain it. So step one, you have to say there is this reality. There's consequences of sin. Number two, everyday evangelists must declare the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how he alone serves as the provision for everyone to be reconciled to God. Okay, you know what this means? You got to be familiar with the story. He came, he died, he rose again, and he did it all. He did it all so that we might have freedom from sin. Okay, we have to be familiar with the Christmas story, the resurrection story. Come on. We got to be familiar with what Jesus did. We have to tell him about his resurrection. We got to tell him about his death and burial. We have to tell him about the life that he lived. The reason Jesus came was for you and I. The reason he came was for you and I. Remember, this is the biblically accurate way to present the gospel. Consequences for sin, but Jesus came. And he alone can set you free from sin. Amen? Okay, so where are we at? On the next page. Can I just share something with you? We bought these folders for you guys, and they only hold 100 pages, and I was getting really nervous about keeping these seven lessons under 100 pages. And the other night, in the middle of the night, I woke up and I said, we could print them on the back and the front. Okay. Step number three. Everyday evangelists must explain to their listeners that reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ can occur only if they will repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Okay. Why would you need to reconcile with God? Because there is a consequence for your sin. Okay? Yeah. There's a consequence for your sin. Why would you need to reconcile with God? How can you reconcile with God? Through Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? So all of this ties together. Each one of these steps do not stand alone. They all weave together into the fabric of the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? So these are the steps. These are easy. You got to tell them why. There's a consequence for sin. You got to tell them Jesus Christ died. He rose. You got to tell them that God can hold you in his arms as a child because Jesus Christ gave his life for you. You can live a free life from sin because Jesus Christ gave his life for you. Amen? Okay. Encourage questions for clarification. And now, folks, I put a whole bunch in your book. I don't even think I'm going to take the time to go over everything. I just want you to read through it. Encourage questions for clarification. How many of you all know that sometimes what you say is not what people hear? Okay, then you have children. Okay. Y'all understand? I mean, sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, this morning's sermon, you said X. And I said, I don't think so. I said, yeah, you did. I heard it. Sometimes what we say is not what people hear. And so one thing that we want to make sure is that we got people that are hearing what we're trying to communicate. Amen? You have to understand, everything we say to people is going to be run through a filter that they own. Are y'all with me? So you tell somebody, say, why don't you come and visit my church? That automatically runs through a filter. And see, that filter theirs might have this in it. You know, they went to a church one time and they were really looked down on because they weren't wearing the right clothes. And so immediately they go, I can't go to your church because I don't have the right clothes to wear. But you never said anything about clothes, did you? Y'all see what I'm saying? So you have to ask questions for clarification. Okay, this one. After an everyday evangelism gives a complete presentation of the gospel, he should ask his hearers the following questions, okay? Do you understand what I have shared with you? All right? Now, you guys need to understand, you don't have to say this exactly like it's written down here. You need to let your personality, you need to let your vocabulary take over, all right? Paul said, I'm all things to all men that I might win some, okay? So if you're talking to somebody from, like, Britain, you need to say, do you understand? Never mind, that's a terrible, okay. But y'all understand what I'm saying? You need to put your twist on it, but ultimately you're going to ask them this question. Do you understand what I've been talking to you about, okay? Second one, do you have any questions about what I've shared with you? Okay, let me just tell you something. This is the question right here that I've asked most often that I get feedback on because they got questions. I mean, man, there's people that you will present the gospel to that they absolutely have no idea what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. I can remember one time in particular, we had a group of young people sitting on the lawn doing a backyard Bible school, and I asked this rhetorical question. I said, you know, how many of y'all know who Jesus is? And everybody but one kid raised their hand, a little girl sitting right in the front row. She didn't raise her hand. And I said, oh, come on, you know who Jesus is. And she shook her head at me, and she said, I don't know who Jesus is. She's probably 10 years old. She had no idea who Jesus was. Are y'all with me? So there's going to be questions. There's going to be questions. If there's not questions, you're skating on real good ice. But more than likely, there's going to be questions. So do you have any questions about what it is I've shared with you? Thirdly, and this is one of those setup questions, okay? This is one of those things that's going to lead you to being able to lead them to Jesus Christ. Have you ever made this kind of decision before? Okay? So you've talked to them about the consequences of sin. You've talked to them about what the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is about. You've talked to them about how they can be reconciled with God through Christ Jesus. And then you get to this point, you say, man, have you ever made any kind of decision like this before? So if that person responds yes to that, I've made that kind of decision, then you've got to ask them to share with you when they made that decision. Provide some details about how they received Jesus Christ. Now, if they say, yes, I've made that decision, why wouldn't you just say, well, I didn't know you was a fellow believer. God bless you, son. Just go about your shopping here, Piggly Wiggly. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you just say, oh, you've made that decision? Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. A brother in Christ. Why wouldn't you? Hey, they could be telling you what you want to hear. They could have made a whole bunch of errors in the way they believe. Let me tell you something, man. There's churches that bring people to the front. They shake their hand, give them a membership card, and they say, man, you're a child of God now. Come on. Okay? So you need to know why. I mean, you need to know about this decision that they say they've made, okay? You need to know some details. So if that individual testifies of having experienced a biblical conversion, now remember, They know the consequences for sin. They know that Jesus is the way they can get rid of that sin. And they know that they've been reconciled with Jesus. I mean, God through Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? In other words, it's coming out of their mouth. They can give you a biblical reason why that they've been converted. Then what you need to do is encourage them to live the life. And I like what I wrote in here. Say, hey, why don't you become an everyday evangelist like me? I'm just joking. Okay? Invite your hearers to receive Jesus Christ. So here's the deal. If that person with whom you're sharing the gospel with does not articulate that biblical conversion, are y'all with me? They say, I went to the altar in a church one time and I believed on Hare Krishna as my salvation. Then you're going to go, eh. Okay? I rub Buddha's tummy every morning before I leave the house. Are y'all with me? You know, you know that they're not telling you that they've had a biblical experience. Okay? You have to explain to them. And I've used a lot of he's and him in here, but please, it was just better than typing he or she slash. I just did it. You guys can make the transition. You need to explain to him how his experience falls short according to Scripture. Invite him to receive Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. Okay, guys, this is one of the things I run onto most often. I talk to people and I say, man, do you know that you'd go to heaven if you died today? Oh, yeah, I know. And I say, how do you know? Tell me about your experience. Well, my mama, she was a founding member of such and such church up there on the hill, the one with the big graveyard. And we got our name on every blessed one of those pews. That's why I know I'm going to heaven. Come on. I'm telling you, you will hear stuff like this. Maybe not in that tone, but you're going to hear stuff like this. Crazy stuff. You know? What you've got to do is say, listen, man, that's not how you get to heaven. You can have your name on every pew, on every church, over the whole planet, and it's not how you get to heaven. And you take them back to those three steps. You take them back and you tell them there is a consequence for sin, but the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you have to understand, you're going to expand this, correct? You can't just tell them those three little short sentences there. And you can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. You're going to take them back and you're going to say, listen, man, it doesn't make any difference if you're a member of a church. It doesn't make any difference if your mom was a founding member of so-and-so church. It doesn't make any difference if your mom was Billy Graham. Okay, your father was Billy Graham. Are y'all see what I'm saying? You have to take them back and you have to scripturally say, this is why you need to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ now. Okay? So, if that individual responds, no. In other words, I have not made a decision of that kind. Then you got to ask him if he is willing to repent of his sins and believe in Jesus' death for his sins and resurrection from the dead for his salvation. In other words, you got to say, listen, you know, would you like to receive Jesus Christ? And again, you're not going to follow this template right here exactly. But you're going to figure out a way to share the gospel with them, to bring them to a point where they make a decision, a point of decision. Amen? You got to say, Derek, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today? He can set you free. I'm telling you, he loves you. He loves you, and he's after you. That's why I'm here having this conversation with you this morning. I've been praying for you. People in my church have been praying for you, and God loves you. Would you like to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ? All you have to do is repent of your sins. And secondly, you have to believe on Jesus Christ, that he is the one that can save you. And if Derek says no, then you say, well, then you're on your way to hell. Let me just make sure y'all understand this. Many, many people who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ are going to give you a no. They're going to. If you go out there and you win one person out of 25, you're doing well. You're going to get a lot of rejections. Okay, remember, You're going to get polite rejections. People are going to just say, you know, I'm just really not ready to right now. You know, I'm just really not ready. And, you know, you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit right there, because, you know, there's scriptures for that. I'm not ready right now. Nobody's promised tomorrow. Come on. So you have to be ready to give an answer. But there's some times where I just have to say, Derek, I understand that decision. I'm going to respect that decision, but I'm going to continue to pray for you, because you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You're going to have to make a decision this side of the grave. And you're going to have some no's. You're going to have some no's. Are y'all with me? I'm saying 1 in 25. I pray it's not that way. I mean, sometimes it might be 4 in 25 that you lead to the Lord. Sometimes it might be 10 out of 25 that you lead to the Lord. But sometimes it's slim pickings. Sometimes, man, you go out there and you preach to a whole lot of folks. But remember what I've been saying. Some people plant, some people water, and some people reap the harvest. And folks, the Bible didn't tell us to go out and just win everybody to Jesus. It said to preach the gospel. Amen? So our obedience is to preach to those who need to hear the gospel. Amen? So, the individual says, yes, I want to make a decision. Excuse me, he says no. He says no. He rejects the offer. We haven't got to yes yet. He rejects the offer. We are going to, in the future, provide a whole plethora of gospel tracts, New Testament, Gospels of John. They're going to be made available to you. And, you know, this is one of those times where, you know, if Tyler rejects the gospel, I just say, man, well, let me just give you this. If you have a moment, just read over it, you know. He's going to take it, and, you know, you might say, can I pray for you before we leave? You know, you're just going to have to play all of this according to the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes you just say, man, thank you for taking the time to hear me. You know, so many people don't even hear. I appreciate that. You know, be respectful. Be polite. But if they reject the gospel, they say no to it, you know, don't get them in a headlock and say, you're going to receive Jesus before you walk out of this, or you ain't walking out of this alive. Okay. So now, if the person indicates that he would like to repent and believe, then he says, yeah, I want Jesus. Okay, so what do you do now? You got to summarize the gospel, and you got to emphasize the demands of the gospel. Okay, why would you do that? Because you want to make sure they understand what's going on. Amen? One of the things that I figured out early on with kids is that whenever you give an altar call for salvation, one of the things you've got to do is you have to figure out what they came to the altar for. Because if you say, boys and girls, come up here, anybody needs to receive Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, you want to get saved this morning, bunch of kids at the front. And you go to them and you begin to pray with them and you go, well, why'd you come to the altar? I don't know, I just want to come up here and look around. Whenever, see, I thought they were coming up for salvation. Are y'all with me? I came up here to pray because I got an infected toe. My dog bit it. You know, they didn't come for salvation. But every once in a while, you kneel down in front of a child and say, why did you come up here? And they said, I came up here because I need Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. Are y'all there? You've got to summarize the gospel. You've got to emphasize the demands of the gospel. Are y'all with me? The demands of the gospel is this. You got to leave your old life behind. Those sins that you could be penalized for, okay? Those sins, you're going to leave them behind. Jesus told the woman that was caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more, okay? So you have to emphasize the demands of the gospel. Ask him if he understands this decision he's about to make, because you've summarized the gospel, you've emphasized the man's the gospel, and so now you get to this place where you say, man, do you understand this decision that you're about to make? So depending on the response of that individual, do the following. If he indicates under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that he wants to repent and believe, then instruct him to call on the name of the Lord for salvation. Remind him that Jesus, not his prayer, will save him. Okay? Remind him that Jesus is the one. It's not the prayer. It's not the prayer. It's Jesus. And that he receives salvation by calling on the name of the Lord in repentance and in faith. Encourage this guy to express his sinfulness before God. Remember those three that we went over earlier? His need for salvation through Jesus Christ alone. You see how these correlate with the three that we learned just a moment ago. And fourthly, his request for God to forgive his sins and his gratitude for God's grace to him in a prayer. Okay, so you guys sitting out there going, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to remember all of this stuff? You're going to be going, there were four points. Let me call Pastor. Pastor, what's the fourth point? It's the fourth point. Yeah. I know I've forgotten one. I'm sorry, I forgot the fourth point. You can't get saved today. Folks, let me just tell you, it doesn't have to be perfect, okay? I'm giving you an outline, but it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be word for word. The Holy Spirit is going to use your life. I will tell you this. If you step out in faith, the Holy Spirit will meet you. And he will put in your head what you need in your head. Okay? I'm giving you a framework here that it just works really well. And I can tell you that this is a framework that I practice whenever I tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Whenever I start talking to them and we get serious, you know what I'm saying? All the air in the room kind of leaves. I'm getting serious. This is what I practice right here. I start telling us, you know, your sinfulness, your need for salvation. You've got to repent. If he indicates his need for assistance in praying. Now, I like people to pray their own prayer. I really do. I said, do you understand all this? I'll run down through these little points right here. And I say, you know, would you like to pray a prayer right now? And I will just tell you this. There has been times whenever people say, man, I really don't know what to pray. Can you help me? Okay? I obviously will help them. Amen? I don't really like to say, repeat after me. In other words, dear Jesus, I love you. I really like for them to articulate this themselves by me giving them kind of a sentence starter. Does that make sense? Okay, so if they need assistance to pray, help them by giving them a sentence starter. Well, don't pray to our Father because it's not their Father yet, okay? They're still unsaved. And so once they get born again, they will be saved. Now, think about this for a minute, though. We've got this crazy idea that a prayer has to be where people kind of bow their head and maybe hold hands. And then that prayer has to start and it just has to flow perfectly until there comes a part where you say, amen, and then you open your eyes and it's all done. Can I just tell you that that is not necessarily the way it has to happen, okay? You can lead somebody in a prayer. You can talk right in the middle of their prayer. You say, well, let me give you the first part of this prayer. And they pray the first line. They articulate from their heart, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I have messed up big time. I've done a lot of things I shouldn't do. You gave them the first line. Now, let me just say this. They can stop right there And you can give them the second line. Are y'all with me? You can say, now that you've confessed you're a sinner, now you got to believe on him to save you. So just ask him. Ask him to save you. Lord, I ask you to save me. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were raised on the third day. And because you were raised, I can be raised. Because, see, we've already articulated the gospel to them. They can open their eyes, look around, and you could give them the third line. Now, you tell me something. Is there anything wrong with that? See, religion has said they have to pray this perfect prayer. It has to be nonstop. It has to be religious. Come on. Man, I've seen some of the most goofy prayers I've ever seen in my life prayed. And those people got born again through those prayers. Come on. I know a little 4-year-old girl one time that led 2 people to Jesus at a football game. And her prayer was just a 4-year-old's prayer for these guys. She led them in a prayer. And they got born again. So let me just make sure y'all shoot that crazy idea in the head that this prayer has to be something that, you know, this is hallowed ground. Take your shoes off, please. Okay, we got to pray like, dear God. All right, y'all with me on the same page? I'm going to let you, I'm going to let you kind of soak that in, because that kind of shoots some religious stuff. Because we think this prayer's just got to be perfect. It doesn't. It just has to communicate somebody's heart. I mean, somebody may open their mouth and you're praying with them. They might start spitting out all kinds of sins. And they don't. I'm really sorry for, you know, hitting that cat with my car on purpose. And, well, that's not a sin. Never mind. Okay. I'm just kidding, you guys. Goodness gracious. Okay. Next one. How to respond to feedback. How many of you all know that whenever you have a gospel encounter, that you're probably going to get some feedback? Whenever you share the gospel in a conversation, especially whenever you share your own situation, people are going to begin to engage you in discussion. They're not just going to sit there. They're going to engage you in discussion. While this isn't always friendly, I mean, it could be a little dicey, you'll be surprised how often people are seriously wondering about issues related to faith in Christ. The feeling that comes from knowing you've helped somebody who is searching more than makes up for an occasional negative response. This line right here, some people are going to be curious. They're going to ask genuine questions about Christianity and faith. They're going to ask serious questions. Now, you're going to get feedback. It's going to be a conversation. Remember, that's what a conversation is. It's two people talking back and forth to one another. You're going to have what I call conversation diverters. Some people that you share with will try to turn the conversation. Remember, that's what you've been trying to do. You've been trying to turn the conversation. And people who are a little bit resistant to the gospel or hearing the gospel, they're going to try to turn the conversation again. Yes? Okay? So what I need right now is I need all the people in the room that have ones, twos, and threes to come up here. And fours. I guess I had a four as well. So all the ones, twos, threes, and fours, if you got that little piece of paper whenever you came up here, I want you to find your collective group. If you have a one, I want you to find the other ones. If you have a two, I want you to find the other twos. If you have a three, I want you to find the other threes. If you have a four, I want you to find the other fours. Okay, where's my ones? Where's my ones? Who's got a one? Mark? Okay, three ones. Four ones? How many ones do we have? Just three, right? Okay, so ones. Now, all of you guys that are still in your seats, I want you to listen to this. This is somebody trying to turn your conversation. So ones, I want you to huddle up after I get through telling you this, and I want you to think of a good way that you can respond to somebody trying to turn your gospel presentation. This is what they're going to say to you. That may have worked for you, but it wouldn't work for me. You're preaching the gospel to them, and they say, that might have worked for you, but it's not going to work for me. I want you to find a good a good way that you can turn that conversation back to the gospel. Okay, where's my twos? Where's my twos? Okay, you guys get out of the way. Ones, get out of the way. Okay, twos, this is your question, or this is your statement. My life is going just fine. I don't need religion. Okay? So you find a good way to turn that conversation back to Christianity, okay? Threes. Where's my threes? Threes. Okay. This is threes. Okay. Three threes. Christianity is just like any other religion. Okay? Christianity is just like any other religion. Number four, all you fours. And I'm going to kind of rattle on here with this one, okay? But I'm going to give you the essence of what I want you to talk about. You're preaching the gospel, and right in the middle of preaching the gospel, they're going to say, you know, the church in the past has been full of violence and death. Take the Crusades. There were thousands of people killed in the name of Jesus. How will you respond to that? How will you turn that back around, okay? All right. Ones, twos, and threes, and fours. Okay, yes, I will. You guys are ones? That may have worked for you, but it wouldn't work for me. They're talking about the gospel, talking about religion. That might have worked for you. Number two is, my life is going just fine. I don't need religion. Number three is, Christianity is just like any other religion. Number four is, they're going to debate you about the history of the church. There's been all kinds of death. There's been all kinds of killing in the name of Jesus. Okay? Okay, ones, are y'all ready? All right, who's my spokesman? All right, come on, spokesman. You guys got a good one for this? They're going to say, that might have worked for you, but it wouldn't work for me.
We're going to say, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all sins are equal in God's eyes. So if it works for me, it'll definitely work for you.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else have another line that you could use?
Why wouldn't it work?
Okay. Why don't you think it would work for you? Okay. Somebody else? Somebody else out in the crowd? They say, hey, that might work for you, man, but it ain't going to work for me. It ain't going to work for me, man. I'm telling you, it created my lifestyle. Y'all? Exactly right. Hey, this is the story of my life. Weaving your story into it. Okay, where's my twos? Number ones, you guys can go ahead and sit down. Number two, my life is going just fine. I don't need religion. Who's my spokesman?
I just simply ask them, you've never had any problems? No bumps in the road?
Well, yeah, I've had bumps in the road, but hey, my life is good, man. Right now, I have no problems.
I bet you run into some problems soon.
What are you going to cover? Let me read you a little story. This is for my twos. Evangelist Paul Cox once shared that he was talking to a wealthy businessman on a commercial flight when he received this kind of response. In other words, my life's going just fine. I don't need religion. He asked the man how he defined a good life. Okay? The man explained that he had a beautiful wife, a very large home, many cars, and another financial blessing. Paul then asked him, are you happy? Several young businessmen listening in on the conversation laughed at him for asking such an absurd question, but the wealthy man didn't answer. Paul asked again, are you happy? Eventually, the man admitted that he was not. This led to a discussion about how we have a spiritual void in our lives that only Christ, not material things, can fill. So, great, great illustration. Twos, way to go. Threes, are you guys ready for this? Christianity is just like any other religion. That's a tough one. Are you?
I had a pastor's kid in my team.
Okay, who's the spokesman? Okay, all right.
Okay, well, if someone said that, I would say, well, it may seem like it, but let me tell you about Christians. Christians are different. Christians are set apart because we follow Jesus. In one way, I may tell them a little story about Jesus, and then I would tell them that what Corey said. Let me tell you what Corey said. I'm trying to remember. Corey, what we would say is, Christians, it's not about what you do as a Christian. It's about what Jesus did. So it's not something that you have to do. It's about believing in something that Jesus did for you.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Anybody else have a better answer or another answer? Not a better one. Anybody else have another answer? I'm sorry. Sometimes. Anybody else have another answer? I mean, one of the things that I thought of whenever I put this down is, hey, every other religion serves a dead leader. Jesus is the only one that ever came out of the tomb alive. I serve a living God. Amen? There's a lot of answers to that. I will tell you this. If you preach the gospel long enough, you will get that response right there. You'll get it. Okay, fourth one, and this one here is a toughie. This one's a toughie. Listen, there's a lot of animosity out there towards Christianity, okay? You know, Christians are the reason there's so many bad things in the world. You know, Christians. Who's my spokesman here? You guys are fours? Who's my spokesman? You my spokesman? You my spokeslady?
I just said, hey, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Get right or get gone.
Well, one thing, it is hard. So I would look at this. I'll say, well, give me an example. Which one you're talking about, so I can example on it? Because it's so broad, it doesn't give me a chance just to flutter. Tell me what you're talking about.
Not really.
Okay. Yeah, this is a hard one. But I will tell you, this is something that I've encountered. I've encountered people saying, hey, Christianity is the reason there's so many bad things in the world. I mean, do you know the thousands of people that were killed in the name of religion? The Islamic people that were slaughtered because they wouldn't turn to Christianity? I have had that very thing said to me. So what Mark said is bring it down, and then say this. Let me tell you something. Every bad thing that happened in this world is not the fault of God, but of humanity. It's humanity. It was humanity's idea to murder those people. Jesus Christ said, thank you, fours, I'm sorry. Jesus Christ said that he is not happy if anybody perishes. He gave his life for the whole world, okay? And so you have to define it. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Remember what they're trying to do? They're trying to turn a conversation, okay? And let me just make sure you all understand this. It is not your job to debate them, okay? I'm just going to tell you something. There's been many times where a question has come my way and I had no answer for it. Somebody could say, hey, the Crusades killed all these people. And I say, you know, that's probably true. But let me tell you what Jesus says about you right now here today. I didn't answer their question, but I turned the conversation back the way I needed to. Folks, you can debate with people until you pass out because you have no oxygen in your lungs. Okay? In fact, I'll be very honest with you. The enemy wants you to debate people. Because as long as you're debating, you are not presenting the gospel. Okay? So, I think that there are legitimate questions. Okay? I think that somebody could say, hey, I'm doing pretty well and I don't have any religion in my life. I mean, I got big house, big car, beautiful wife, kids that obey me, great big 401k. I think that can be legitimate. Are you following me? Why do I need the Lord? And I think sometimes we can answer questions like that. Are y'all following me? But most of the time, I'm not going to engage them. I'm going to turn the conversation back. If I do answer their question, I'm going to answer it as quickly and succinctly and shortly as I possibly can. And then I'm going to say, but let's get back to the gospel. Let's get back to where you are right now, okay? I've got a slide for this, I think. Yeah, I do. It's in your book. Don't be drawn into these diversionary tactics, because that's what it is. You know how Satan's screaming in your shoulder? They're going to reject you. He's also screaming in their shoulder. Say this. Okay. Don't be drawn into these diversionary tactics. Pray in your heart for God's guidance and keep the discussion centered on Jesus. How do you pray in your heart? I'm here and I'm engaged with Dalton. I'm talking with him, and all of a sudden, man, there's a question that pops up that, man, I go, hoo, hoo, hoo. I'm going to be saying, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, give me wisdom, but I'm not going to be saying that out loud. I'm going to be saying my heart. I'm going to be saying, God, I need your help right here. I got to know what to say to this guy. You got to give me an answer. I'm going to be saying that in my heart while they're over there going, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to be going, God, 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 you got to give me wisdom here, man. You got to give me the words to say. What do I say? What do I say? Okay? That's praying in your heart. And please don't misunderstand me. During the course of an evangelistic encounter, that is something that is very appropriate to do. Amen? But don't let them see you sweat. Okay. I'm just kidding. Okay. Don't be discouraged if you get responses that fall short of genuine interest. Remember, I told you, you're going to be planting seeds. There's going to be times where people totally shut you down. They're going to totally reject you. And so don't be discouraged. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. The enemy's on their shoulder and he's screaming at them. They're saying, man, you don't need this. Stupid religion, stupid Christianity, stupid Jesus. He's doing everything he can to shut this conversation down. Okay, just a couple of closing things. This is always, always good to work into the conversation, and this goes to where I took you last week. Share how blessed your life is, your story. I can tell you, I will reiterate this many, many times, regardless of what evangelistic style that you guys begin to feel comfortable with, there is always room to weave your story into it. Amen? Remember what God has done in your own life and be able to share that, okay? Start gently. Sometimes as Christians, we have a tendency to want to rush into the message before we've established a common ground for its reception. This is what I call, you earn the right to be heard, okay? You earn the right to be heard. Ah, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? Yeah, it is a beautiful day. Well, let me tell you about Jesus Christ and this plan for your life. Earn the right to be heard. A lot of times we just want to right in there with the gospel, and sometimes you gotta wait. Sometimes you gotta give that individual time to get comfortable with you. Remember, it's a spiritual thing. Be gentle. Okay, next one. Hang in there. I used to have a picture that my secretary gave me, and she gave it to me whenever there was just, it had been a crazy few weeks and long hours and crazy, crazy, crazy. And it was this little cat hanging from a branch, claws clipped on that branch, and it said, hang in there. I had it in my office for years. I don't know where it's gone, but anyway, hang in there. Whenever you share your faith, hang in there. Hang in there. There will be times where you just want to say, well, fine then, just go to hell. And you just want to walk off. But sometimes it's just good to just hang in there. Do I need to go any further on that? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Sometimes, man, it's just, they may shut you down 40 times, but God's given you another open door to witness to them the 41st time. Hang in there. I've been praying for my dad ever since I got saved. I've been saved for 37 years. and I've been praying for him. And I'll tell you this, he is more lost today than he was 37 years ago. He's worse today than he was 37 years ago. And so I gave up. No, I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to hang in there. Amen? Amen. So hang in there. Next one, be sensitive. What does that mean? Let me just share this story with you. A pastor once described an event he witnessed while in the company of Dr. Walter Martin, a prominent evangelist to cult members. Dr. Martin had approached a Hare Krishna devotee on a sidewalk, and he began a friendly conversation asking the young man's background so that he could seek an opportunity to talk about faith. As the man began to share his heart, a well-meaning Christian approached the group and loudly condemned the devotee, declaring that he would burn in hell for his devotion to a false religion. The Krishna devotee quickly closed his heart and entered the interview. While we must be bold, we are also to be sensitive and loving in our efforts. Be sensitive. Now, I've shared with you that I had a guy that I used to minister to, and I used to tell him that I smelled smoke. And he would say, "Really, you smell smoke?" And I'd go, "Yeah, and it's you burning in hell. That's what I'm smelling." But now you have to understand, him and I had a friendship, okay? And we teased back and forth with each other all the time. He picked on me, and I picked on him, okay? So y'all don't go, "Well, Pastor, he's so insensitive," okay? You know, he thought it was funny, but I was planting gospel seeds. Okay, are y'all with me? I used to play practical jokes on him all the time. He used to do crazy things to me all the time. We had a friendship. We could talk like that to one another. Are y'all with me? I mean, he would tell me things, you know. I'm not even going to repeat what he told me about my Christianity, okay? Because it needed to go beep, 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 beep. It was just, you know, it was just the way we bantered back and forth. But I preached the gospel. I preached the gospel to him. Amen? But I was sensitive to him. There's some people that you can't go up to and say, "I smell smoke." All right? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. There is sometimes whenever the boldness of the Holy Spirit will come on you, and you will look at somebody and say, "Listen, you're bound for hell. And you're going to perish eternally unless you repent of your sins." I can remember one situation very clearly where a young lady, she was a little Italian lady, kind of as round as she was tall, and we were ministering to a group of homosexual men in front of a gay bar. And one guy I'd ministered to in particular several times, you know, and we were kind of bantering back and forth, and he was in front of his friends, and so he's very antagonistic towards me. And this lady, she was part of a team, and she walked up and she began to listen to this. And it wasn't just a few minutes that she just stepped in that circle and she pointed her finger up and she said, "Listen, your sin does not impress me and it doesn't impress God." You know, I mean, I'm going, "Whoo, man." Okay? I would have never said that to that guy. But she was being moved on by the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, about 10 minutes later, he was knelt down there on that sidewalk repenting of his sins and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Be sensitive. Be sensitive to the Lord. Most of the time, you're not going to overwhelm them by saying, "You're a sinner and you're going straight to hell." Okay, what's the next one? Love works wonders. Amen? I think I got another line. Reaching people begins with loving them, not condemnation. Okay? In your coach's corner, you're going to see a scripture there, a scripture passage right off the beginning of the scriptures that you will need to read. And it's the story of Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. Okay? And Jesus gives us a very good lesson in evangelism, if you would. Okay? Let's just go over a couple of things in the coaching corner. Know the gospel. That's the best place to start. Know the gospel, okay? Master the message first, and the methods are going to follow. Questions for you. Do you know the core content of the gospel? Can you share a version of the gospel? Once you've mastered the gospel content, you can then use any method that you want. You can weave the gospel into any method you want. If you got the four spiritual laws, if you got the ABCs, if you've got the Roman road, you can weave the gospel. I mean, you can weave those ways into it because you know the gospel. Let me just tell you something. If you know the gospel, you don't need a formula. You don't need a formula. So the next four sessions are going to be about learning the gospel, okay? I printed some scriptures in here. I didn't look them up for you because I want you to get into the Bible. They're all found in the book of John, and I encourage you to look them up. There's kind of a little idea behind them. John 1, 12, and 13, we have the promise that we are children of God. When we believe in Christ, we become part of God's family, accepted and loved by Him. That's not the scripture. That's just a little commentary on the scripture, okay? So that's the Coach's Corner. You guys have to get familiar with scriptures. Next week, I'm going to have another batch of scriptures in there for you to look at, for you to get a hold of, because let me tell you what works in evangelism. It's the Word. The Word is the power. Amen? The Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Amen.